Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Me too. What's up, everybody? Mike Virginia here with the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. It is Fantasy Baseball Friday. Your host, Mike Virginia, will be joined by Michael Govier here in about 20 minutes or so. He's wrapping up some things, but he will be here with us later today. So I am getting things started without him. Welcome to the show. For those of you guys who are in the live chat, welcome. You guys know the deal. Make sure that you guys like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Our quest to 1,000 is ongoing. We got fantasy football content coming up. If you guys haven't checked out the Tuesday show when Michael and I did our first fantasy football show of the season, make sure you guys check that out. We got a lot more content coming your way as well. So if you gave up or you're out of it for fantasy baseball, have no fear. We are here to get you ready for fantasy football season. So make sure you guys check us out on that. And we would also really like a like on the video as well. It helps with the algorithm and obviously getting more eyes on our content. So would greatly appreciate that. Got a couple people in the chat already. Anthony, what's up, my friend? How are you? Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know what that meant, Anthony, but I appreciate the HHGGVV. EAL Day, what's up, Mike? Haven't been able to catch you guys in a few shows. Yeah, man, appreciate you being here. Obviously, for those of you guys who are in the live chat, it looks like we got quite a few people here. Feel free to drop your questions in the live chat. Always happy to help. If you guys are in the playoffs, you're getting ready for playoffs, if you want to talk roster decisions, I would assume the trade deadline is probably passed in a lot of your leagues. But just in case it hasn't, maybe it's a dynasty league, feel free to drop those in there as well. So as you guys can see in my little bubble there, I'm a little frustrated with Kyle Tucker for not being back yet, which kind of sucks because he's still dealing with a shin injury. So I don't know when he's going to come back. Mike says the same thing. Where is Kyle Tucker? He's killing me. You and me both, my friend. I don't know when he's going to be coming back. We did see like bad video from, I guess, one of the beat writers of him out in the outfield doing outfield work, throwing, crow hopping, catching fly balls, moving around a little bit. But our good friend Dave Funnell reached out to one of the Houston beat writers and asked him, like, what's the next step before they get him out on a rehab outing? Like, what do they still need to see from him? And according to him, the Astros need to see Kyle Tucker running the bases. And he has not been able to do that. I would be I'd be pretty surprised if we see him at all in August. I think September is a likely likely scenario. Hopefully you're not out of it by then. He's going to need a rehab assignment regardless. So we're already backing up against the end of this week. So let's just say he goes on a rehab assignment in next week or the week after. I assume it's going to be a pretty lengthy one, maybe a week for that. So just to really test out that leg and see how he runs and all that good stuff too. So it's going to be a while till we see Kyle Tucker. So for those of you guys who drafted him, I'm one of those as well. I was really high on Kyle Tucker. I mean, for a while that looked like a really good pick. I took Kyle Tucker over Corbin Carroll and Juan Soto in one of my leagues. And obviously I should have gone with Juan Soto. So, let's see here. Business says, I feel the same way about Tatis. There's no news. EAL Day says Brandon Nimmo hitting. Yeah. Well, going back to Bizzer real quick. Yeah. Tatis, that one, I knew for a fact that that was going to be a long time. I don't own any Tatis shares, Bizza, but I can't. If I find the video, I'll tweet it out. When he got hurt, there was a huge look of defeat on his face. That this, we knew that this wasn't going to be a week or two or a short stint on the IL, which kind of sucks because Tatis is, you know, obviously one of the best players in baseball, and was off to a really good start with the season as well. So Padres are still in the thick of things, and they need him, and so does Houston. So both very, very frustrating situations if you drafted Fernando Tatis Jr. or Kyle Tucker. But hang in there. Hopefully you're still in it, and hopefully these guys can help us out come the playoff time. So I'm hanging on to a playoff spot in my home league. I am on a skid. I have the best hitting in the league by categories. If we went and looked at all of our categories, I lead in most of the hitting categories, and I lost last week, and I'm getting smoked this week. So let that sink in. And a lot of my categories are being lost from the hitting side, not the pitching side. So that's what happens with fantasy baseball. You can have the best team on paper, but they still got to go out and perform. And it really depends on who you run into in the playoffs with week to week matchups. And that's the only thing that sucks with fantasy baseball, with head to head. In my opinion, there's a lot of luck involved. So the best team doesn't always win. So I'm actually contemplating whether or not I'm going to be switching my home league to a points league, because I'd be killing it if it was points. But yeah, or, you know, standard roto. EAL Day says Brandon Nimmo hitting 182 with the 579 in OPS since July 1st, which was when he had that weird hotel room fainting situation. Yeah, something's going on with Nimmo, man. You got to hold just because of how hot he was before that incident happened. So I think you got to hold on to Nimmo. If you play in a really, really shallow league, I could see maybe dropping him depending on who else is out there. But yeah, you're pretty much stuck with him at this point. And hopefully he turns it around there because the Mets are still in it. So John Wilder, are you in any NFBC leagues? I am. Some really good players over there. I am. I'm in TGFBI, and I'm also in the Palazzo Podcast Invitational as well, which is our NFBC league over there. I've made it known on this show before, John, if you missed that part. This is my first time playing in any NFBC leagues. It's not because I would consider myself a quote unquote bad player or a good player. I don't know if I'll be playing next year in NFBC or TGFBI because I'm very big on platforms. And web-based version or the app version on NFBC is atrocious. If anybody on NFBC is out there, sorry, you're probably losing me because I can't stand the app and I can't stand the web portion of it either. I think it's just very archaic, and it's very clunky. Not to mention, too, I was already off to a bad start here, John, because I didn't know in TGFBI that we had FAB. And I was probably a month and a half in and learned that we did have FAB. So, which sucks because I could have picked up some good players, or had the potential at least. You can't win if you don't play, right? Still have a lot of my FAB left over, but, I've honestly just given up on that side. I thought it was a draft and hold league. So, yeah. Anyways, I haven't really even looked at my lineup for the longest time, and I think it's out of like 450 something players. I might be in like the 300s. Who knows? Maybe I'll give it a shot next year, but this was just more of me getting my feet wet. I was for a while in the top 100, and then finally just gave up on it. So that's not a cop out by any means. You are correct. There are plenty of good players in this format, and on this site. So, it's not something where I look at it and go, I'm making excuses or anything. It's my first year playing NFBC, and I hate the app and I hate the platform. They got to do something about it. But I am 11th overall in the Palazzo Podcast Invitational, which is nice, out of 150 players. So there's something there. I'm 337, which is crazy to me because there's like 450 players in here. How in the hell am I still, 150 players better than 150 players? I haven't even looked at my lineup. Maybe those other 150 guys also gave up too. I don't know. That's not the point of today's show. You guys listen to me bitch and complain. It's been a rough season for me for fantasy baseball, unfortunately. Couple leagues I'm doing okay in. I'm probably gonna make the playoffs in all but one. I'm gonna be barely making the playoffs. Another one I'm gonna be probably in the top three, and then another one I'm in the top two or three, I can't remember. And then one of them's a dynasty startup that we started, and I sold the farm, got rid of some guys, acquired some draft picks. I got a good nucleus of core, good guys. I got Gunner. I got Mookie. I have Jose Ramirez. This is a 12-team dynasty. I got all three of those guys. Help me out next year. And I got a lot of first-round picks and stuff like that, too. So it'll be interesting. But it's been a rough year for me for fantasy baseball overall. Just a lot of frustrating things happening. So, and as I'm sure you guys could probably relate. Thanks for the question there, John. Hopefully you're still watching. EAL Day 8 says, where are you on Gavin Stone? Get Seattle and Tampa next start. Prefer him or Boz in a head-to-head Cats? Good question. I gave up on Gavin a long time ago. He'd just been getting rocked. I mean, I know he had a decent start to the season, but he might be tiring a little bit. So give me Boz. I don't know who he's playing, but I just prefer the upside and the ceiling of Boz compared to the ceiling or even floor for Gavin Stone. I think the ceiling and the floor for Boz is a lot higher than Stone. So I don't care who he's facing. I'm out on Stone. I think you can drop him. Pistol says, hello, everyone. Thank you, Mike VA. Thank you, man. Thanks for being here. As always, Pistol, we appreciate you being here. But Chad says, Chase Young is batting fifth. Sweeney's batting eighth in their debuts. Yeah, very excited about both of those guys. I wish Govier were here. We could talk about his Tigers and two exciting call-ups, Trey Sweeney and Chase Young, the brother of Josh Young. Got called up, and they're both in the starting lineup today. So, business says Casas back tonight, baby. Hoping he hits the ground running. Yeah, you, me, both, man. I don't have any shares of Casas, but I do like the power bat there, and I think that he obviously makes the Boston lineup a hell of a lot better if he can find his power stroke again. I do think they'll probably be giving him a little bit of more off days than usual, especially coming back from this injury, and they want him healthy for a stretch run. They don't have too much time to be careful with him, so but I do think there'll probably be some time where he's out of the lineup on some games. Steve Zeller says 30-team dynasty league. We do roto into the playoffs and then go head to head. Ooh, that's interesting. I kind of like that actually, Steve. And it's very frustrating. Lost Tucker, Rengifo, Christian Walker, Hunter Harvey going into the playoffs. Well, Hunter Harvey's a guy that you can, is it a holds league? Cause he's a guy that you could probably easily replace, but it is 30 teams. So I get that, but yeah, losing Tucker and Christian Walker, I assume those are the two cornerstones of your offense there, including Rengifo, who's probably a nice little pickup for you. Or maybe you drafted him. I own Tucker in my home league, man. And I still say to this day, I don't care if I'm playing for $500. It's only a, $50 buy-in. In my home league, we actually went cheaper over the past couple of years. It's only $50. I play in leagues that are $100, $250, $500. That's still to this date. I don't care if it's NFBC. I don't care if it's high stakes, whatever. My home league will always reign supreme. It's very cutthroat. I always want to win. And I'm probably going to be just barely getting into the playoffs at this point because I lost Tucker. So it sucks. I feel the pain, man. Hopefully these guys can get healthy for you and help you out. It sounds like you're going into the playoffs next week. So good luck to you, man. Hope you catch some lightning in a bottle and get far. And maybe, who knows, maybe Tucker comes back. And Christian Walker should be back soon, if I'm not mistaken. Charles, what's up, man? He says, do you think Pittsburgh will let Jared Jones go the rest of the way without an innings limit? And do you think he will finish the way he started? Good question. I don't know. I wish I did, but I don't. I don't own any Jared Jones shares, to be honest. I just didn't buy into anything Pittsburgh unless his name was Paul Skeens. So unfortunately, I don't own any shares. In terms of your first question, do I think they'll let him go without any innings limits? I do think there's probably a portion of of me that thinks, yes, he will get shut down. But it's also going to depend on when he does come back, how far Pittsburgh is out of it, if they're still contending for a playoff spot. If they are, I can see him coming back because he's been out for so long. Maybe they say, hey, they still got a couple of innings left in the tank there. Do I think they'll finish? He finishes the way he started? Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. I mean, he's had some time to let his arm kind of rest and recover, so that's a good thing. I think he's definitely worth holding on to find out for sure. B. Henny says, yep. What's up, Mike? What's up, dude? How are you? Thanks for joining. Yuandi says, hello, Mike. What about the Pepio return? Yeah, Ryan Pepio, the piss missile. Britain's boy. He is he's returning today to start. I'm not sure what the question is there, Yoandi. I like Pepio. If he somehow got dropped in your league, I would go out and get him for sure. He was turning around there and starting to show signs of life. So hopefully, and his injury had to do with an infection in his knee. So it's not anything arm related. So maybe he's fresh and ready to roll. I think he had 7 Ks in his last rehab stint before he came to back to the big league club. So, I love Ryan Pepio. I think he's a guy that is probably the best arm in that rotation this year. But the Rays are going to have a plethora of young talent and good arms in that rotation for next year if everyone can stay healthy between Springs, Boz. Those guys don't look right now, but they will look right next year. I guarantee it. And guys, I probably will be heavy on in next year's drafts, including Ryan Pepio. As you guys may know, I do not draft SP1s. I don't care if it's a first, second, or third round. I usually take hitter, because for the exact reason that we saw with Garrett Cole and Spencer Strider this year, it's just too much risk involved. But then again, Kyle Tucker has been hurt. Julio Rodriguez has been hurt. So unfortunately, that argument really doesn't hold a lot of water for this year. But guys I'll be looking to target are guys from Tampa Bay and guys in Minnesota next year. So yeah, go get Ryan Pepio if he's out there. Frozen Rope, what's up, man? I actually used to work for a place called Frozen Ropes. It's a East Coast like baseball academy. I was a hitting instructor there for a long time, and I worked with a lot of kids. Also was a strength and conditioning coordinator for them as well. So I got to work out with a lot of college kids in terms of strength and conditioning, speed and agility, that kind of thing. It was really fun. Worked there in college. It was arguably one of my favorite jobs of all time because I was, you know, during downtime, I could hit in the cage and meet some really cool people too. And had a couple of ex-pro guys in there as well, which was fun, that are local to my area that came in all the time and were instructors for a little bit seasonally. It was a fun time. He says, should I be worried about the Ketel Marte injury? I picked up Jace Young while with the second base eligibility. Yes and no. It's good to know that his MRI came back and showed a really low, mild ankle sprain. They're not ILing him. The head coach came out and said that they're not ILing him. I don't think we see him the rest of the week. I think they're going to give him the rest of the week off, and I could see him back in the lineup. Just depending on how he responds to treatment and stuff, I could see him back in the lineup next week. So I'd like to pick up, though, with Young as your new second baseman. Probably, I don't know where he slots in full-time there, just because of Colt Keith, who's been equally as good as anybody on the Tigers. I know he's slowed down a little bit, but I can't imagine they'd call Young up to be a platoon bat, but I've been wrong before. So I like to pick up. If there's anybody else out there that has a little bit more consistent playing time that we know, I would grab him. Steve says, yes, saves and holds. Like, okay, got it. So yeah, so Hunter Harvey's a big loss for you then there. Sorry, man. EAL Day says, oh my God, someone dropped Luis Robert for Alex Call in my 12-team league. Would have been unthinkable a few months ago. If he's still out there and he's able to be picked up, stop watching this show immediately and go grab Luis Robert. A guy like that should never be on your waiver wire. I don't care. Even if it's a six man or 8 man league, I don't care how bad he's been. He's one of the guys that can easily turn it around and give you plenty of power and plenty of speed. EA all day. Go grab Luis Robert. Go. Yuandi says, what can I do with J-Rod? Will he be getting better? Yeah. I mean, he's hurt. So that's the thing that sucks. Got that ankle sprain. You got to hold on to him. I can't imagine any leagues where you can cut him at, because at least in Yahoo, so he's on the can't cut list. I mean, you can't get rid of him. You got to hold J-Rod just as a professional development. I hope no one needs me to say this, but if you drafted the guys in the first or second or third rounds, you can't cut. You got to hold. Britton, what's up, man? He says, hey, Mike, I'm at work, but wanted to sneak over and say hello. What's up, my dude? Govier's in here. He says, I'm screwed. Tunnel's totally backed up. Maybe make it there by 3:50. Ooh, boy. Okay. And just for everyone's awareness, too, I'm going to be out of here at 4 because I do have a meeting at 4 o'clock. So B. Henny says, big dog Britton's stealing company time. Everyone's talking in the live chat here. Frozen Ropes, more saves rest of the year. Lucas Erceg or Justin Martinez? I've made my thoughts on this pretty clear. It's very unpopular. If you ask anybody out in the industry this question, they'll probably tell you Justin Martinez. I am going Lucas Erceg here because why? I do think Paul Sewald gets the job back. I do. I know a lot of people are like, hey, you know, like pay attention to more of the results, not so much what the coach is saying. Both with him and Brandon Hyde with Craig Kimbrell, Trivolo said he's giving Sewald a break from the closer's role. I think they want him to be the guy. I really do. So I think both need to be owned if possible there, Frozen Ropes. I think if you can get him, get both Lucas Erceg and Justin Martinez, I think both need to be owned. I think long-term rest of the season, though, it's going to be Lucas Erceg because I do think Paul Sewald gets the job back. I really do. I don't care how good Justin Martinez has been. I think they want Sewald to be the guy. So I'm probably the only person in the industry that'll make that argument and back up Paul Sewald. And it's crazy. I'm not biased. I only have one share of Paul Sewald. So it's not like I'm sitting here like, you know, I have a ton of shares and are biased to that. I do have a couple shares of Justin Martinez as well with the fact that I'm saying that Paul Sewald's coming back and taking the closer's role back. So, yeah, that's just my take on it. Lucas Erceg. Donnie Savinon. I don't think I've seen you here, man. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. He says, Francisco Alvarez or Shea Langeliers rest of season? Good question. Give me Francisco Alvarez. I still like the ceiling there and the prospect pedigree with him, and I think he plays in a better lineup. So he'll find his stroke again. Give me Alvarez there. I will say it's close. Britton says, I like being with all the cool kids in the chat. We appreciate that, Britton. Thank you. Yoandi says, I need to drop a starting pitcher. Can you pick some for me among Soriano, Cabrera, and David Festa? David Festa for me is number one on this list, and I would go Cabrera second, and then Soriano. Bizza says, not Alvarez, Donnie. I'm a Mets fan. He looks lost. Yeah, but his ceiling is still higher than Langeliers. I know Langeliers is playing better, but people forget Francisco Alvarez was a top three prospect. I believe at one point he got as high as 2 or 1. So I know that doesn't matter when you're playing fantasy baseball right now, but I still prefer the floor and ceiling of Francisco Alvarez than I do Shea Langeliers. But if you need production now, go get Langeliers. I'm just saying for rest of season, I think he'll figure it out. Don't worry, Govier. Virginia has things locked and loaded. You damn right, Chad. Thank you, man. Where's my friend Govia? He is in traffic right now. He was supposed to be here by now, but he's in traffic in a tunnel. So he will hopefully be here by 3:50. I'm going to be out right at 4. So maybe he hops on. Gov, if you're listening, don't worry about it, man. I got things covered. Don't rush home. Take your time getting home, my dude. Chad says, friend of the show, Dave Funnel just dropped a bunch of news for the Dodgers. Robleski starting tonight, Edmund returning Monday, and Muncy Tuesday. Edmund has been back at shortstop on rehab also. There you go. So there's the news for the new Dodgers, guys. But I talked about it yesterday on Twitter Spaces. I do it every Thursday at 7:30. I talked about the Dodgers. The Dodgers are getting healthy right at the right time. They got Buehler back. They got Kershaw back. They got Betts back. They're getting Muncy. They're getting Edmund. Michael Kopech looks good. How about my Michael Kopech call, everybody? Huh? Daniel Hudson's blowing it. Kopech is still looking like he's shoving it up everyone's asses every time. He's still not allowed to run since he's been with LA. And Dave Roberts said, quote, he is high on the trust tree. I think we see Michael Kopech as a closer in September, folks. So if he's out there, that's my bold take of the day. Go get Michael Kopech. Go get him. Go get him. Go get him. Chad also says, I'm still very concerned that Muncy's going to be a very limited part-time. No, I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to be a full-time role there, Chad. There's no way that he's sitting on the bench. EAL Day says, assume you'd be okay to drop Lane Thomas for Robert. 1,000,000%, dude. Only have Thomas because my team is light on steals, although Lane is barely running anymore in Cleveland. Yeah, go get Luis Robert immediately. In fact, what are you still doing here? This is why ESPN sucks right here. This is why ESPN blows. 67% rostered in ESPN. This is a guy that was being drafted in the top three rounds. How in the hell is that possible? Go get Luis Robert, EAL Day. Stop watching. Go get him. Chad says, I don't think Sewald returns as a closer if Martinez is doing well because Sewald thrives in an eighth inning role and they won't risk upending the apple cart if things are working where O's can with Kimbrel. Fair, Chad. I like that point, but I still think I'm still going with Trovolo's words there. He was very reluctant to take Seawald out of the spot, and then when he did, he said he's giving him a break. So who knows? I'm just calling my shot here. I'm not saying I know Paul Seawald or Trovolo or anything else like that. I'm just saying I think Seawald gets that job back. It's just a gut feeling. Trust me, bro. Business says, I dropped Alvarez for Austin Wells 2 weeks ago and feel great about it. Yeah, I love that move too. Hitting in the heart of that Yankees lineup. Whoever asked the Alvarez question earlier, if Wells is out there, I'd go get him for instead of both those guys, Shane Langeliers and Francisco Alvarez. B. Henny says, does Blackburn getting rocked again like Oakland did him? Sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question. Do I think he gets rocked again this weekend? I believe he gets the Marlins or the White Sox. I can't remember who Blackburn gets. I think it's the Marlins. Not sure. Yeah, he got rocked, man. But he's facing his old team, too. So, like, Oakland knows him, I guess, right? It's one of those things, too, where, like, he probably went up to, you know, through batting practice, these guys. They know Paul. So, do I think he can bounce back? Yes. But obviously, nothing's a guarantee. So, I still like the start. So, keep the questions coming live in the chat there, folks. If you guys got questions, feel free to hit me up. Business is the Marlins. Yeah, I agree. I think Blackburn can turn it around. So, hey, Mr. Govier, live from traffic. What's up, my friend?
All right, so I'm on the computer mic. It sounds like shit, I'm sure. So I'll mute and unmute myself. But yeah, here, look at all this traffic. See,
it actually doesn't sound half bad.
It could be worse. I'm so excited to talk baseball today, so I wanted to jump in.
There you go. I appreciate you, man. I want to get into a little bit of the meat of the show here. It's August 16th, and we have our show sheet up here, which shout out to Gove because he put a lot of this together for us today. And it's August 16th, and how is Lawrence Butler doing? Well, Lawrence Butler and Michael Govier called it. He actually said August 16th was the date. And I will say, at least on my end, I have not heard a whole lot of Lawrence Butler rumblings. Gov, you want to talk about Lawrence Butler?
Well, you're right. I'm so glad we got to do a show literally on the 16th because it got, well, Canadian traffic. Yes, B. Henny. This is America. I'm still on the American side here waiting to go through the toll, and then I'm gonna go down the tunnel. So you'll probably lose me once I get deeper into the tunnel, but for now I'm here. Anyways, Lawrence Butler, dude, party has slowed down. I know he had a multi-hit game the other day, but otherwise, not looking good. Tough times here. Look, it was a natural progression. He would slow down. He couldn't be as good as he was. It doesn't mean drop him, but there may be other options depending on how shallow your league is now. Butler, right?
Yeah, you're breaking up there a little bit, Gov. I'll back you up on that. Over the last 2 weeks, he's hitting a .167 with one home run and three RBIs. So he's still been pretty decent over the last month. So like Govier alluded to, he's hitting .293 over the last month, but over the 2 weeks, he's been bad. So his roster percentage has dropped 12% since over the last week. So, and I think people are getting impatient with it over the past 2 weeks. He's been shit. So anyways, I think he's right now a hold. And like Govier had mentioned, it depends on how deep your league is or how shallow your league is. If you play in a shallow league and you got some better options out there, Lawrence Butler might be time for Dumpsville. It might be time to throw him down that tunnel that Govier is about to go down right now and leave him out there. So
do I sound like shit right now? Am I choppy or am I normal?
No, you're good.
Well, I'm hotspotting off my phone, so this is amazing that it's working this well. I'm actually impressed. Technology in 2024 is pretty rad.
Yeah, it is, my friend. And then Weston Wilson of the Philadelphia Phillies hits for the cycle yesterday. How about that, huh? And
look, I just want to say something real quick.
Yep.
2 years ago, I believe, I had a cover sheet. One of our shows, the graphic was Weston Wilson on the cover. I've always loved this guy, but he never gets the playing time. He's basically a quad A guy, but he has power and speed. He just strikes out too much, and the Phillies never give him a chance. He shows what he can do with this cycle. I love his bat. He's just never going to get enough playing time. He's just not.
Well, it's actually funny you mentioned that because I was on Twitter this morning and I did see that Brandon Marsh will start to lose more playing time to Weston Wilson. So Weston Wilson time might finally be here. WW, not Walter White, not Walt Whitman. Yeah, that was a Breaking Bad reference for everybody who didn't know that.
You know, I never watched the show. I saw the first two episodes when it came out in 2008, but I've never seen all of Breaking Bad. All the memes, all the GIFs. You're goddamn right. I've basically seen the show through the internet, but I've never actually watched that show. That's wild.
I will pay you money to watch that show. And then I would love to come on Cinema 9, and I would love to do a show with you on Breaking Bad. And I'm not kidding. I'm 1,000,000% down for that because it is my favorite show of all time.
I will make it a priority going forward, and we will make that happen.
Perfect. I love that.
Lock it in.
Anyways, yeah, there you go. Weston Wilson. Okay, so for those of you guys who are playing in 12 teams or deeper, I think Weston Wilson is a strong, and not just because he hit for the cycle. That's not what I'm saying. I do think that he can build upon that. I'm with Govea on this. He just hasn't gotten the playing time. I know that they were saying that he's going to lose playing time to Brandon Marsh there, Gove, too, but I can't imagine they just completely sit him. I do think he'll get some at-bats for sure. But Weston Wilson is a very intriguing pickup and might be part of, a little spoiler alert, he might be part of the Sunday show, which is live. Sundays, me and Britton, 12 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you guys check that out. Maybe Weston Wilson makes the show. I don't know.
He'll probably disappoint because he won't get enough to make him worth playing all week. But if you're playing head-to-head and you're looking at daily matchups or you play daily leagues, he is more advisable. But the talent is there. He just strikes out too much and Philly doesn't believe in him. I mean, Weston Wilson's almost 30 years old, I believe. And look at his minor league stats. Look at what he's done in his career. The guy's put up big numbers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I agree with you. The next thing here, and we got some questions in the live chat. I promise we'll get there for you guys. Just hang tight for me. We're gonna do a gimme two segments.
Utah, give me two.
There you go. I had to play that. One pitcher, one hitter. Govea, I'm gonna let you go first. Who is your one hitter that you wanted to talk about real quick?
Shit, I have to remember who I chose because last night I was really going over. You're right. Jonah Bride. Now, I brought up Jonah Bride on the show at least, was it a week ago? And Ben was on with us, and he's like, Jonah Bride never quite could give the power. Wasn't really a guy who could play every day. But I said on last week's show, he's playing every day in the cleanup spot for Miami. And now he's put more power behind it the last week. So you got a guy who's playing on a team with nothing to play for, which is great for fantasy because production is production. And if you have a spot that you don't have to worry about, I think Jonah Bride's a legit add in minimum 14 teamers and deeper and should be considered a watch list in 12 teamers at the very least because I don't worry about Connor Norby or anybody else right now. I really don't. Miami is just uptight as hell. They're weird, and they're just going to be a dick about it, and Jonah Bride will probably reap the rewards from that.
Absolutely. And to give you guys a little stats with that, Jonah Bride is hitting .286 over the past 2 weeks with four home runs and 13 RBIs. So again, the production's been there for 2 weeks. Let's see what it looks like over the next month. But over the last month, it's hitting .290. Good.
I'm so sorry. Look how dumb this is. This all has to go into one lane, and it's like it's just pure chaos. Whose turn is it? There's no border. There's no organization. It's just pure chaos. There's no lanes. It's insane. This is insane.
Will you stick your head out the window and say, "Give me back my son"? You're on mute. You're on mute. We didn't hear you.
Oh, I blew that?
Yeah, you blew it.
Give me back my son! Is that better? I get it right this time?
Yeah, you did.
This is really dangerous at the border, too, because these guys don't have a sense of humor. They'll probably pull me in and be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yeah, where is your son, sir? backing up Gove on Jonah Bride. He's been pretty good over the last month, too. .295, five home runs, 15 RBIs, like a .429 OBP. So if you play in OBP formats, that's pretty solid as well. So I agree with Gove. I think in competitive 12-teamers, he might be an add here because, again, over the past month, that's a pretty good sample size. And a phrase we commonly use on the show here is ride the wave. Playoffs are starting. If there's guys that maybe you're in the playoffs right now and you want to cut ties with for a guy that's hot, look no further than Jonah Bride. So like that call there, Gov. I actually didn't do much with him or know much about him. But that's a good call for sure. Who's your one pitcher that you wanted to talk about?
Well, you already pushed on it. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm officially in the tunnel now. Yay! Look at this tunnel.
Yippee!
This thing is almost 100 years old. The Windsor Detroit International Tunnel from Canada to Michigan. But it's Lucas Erceg. I put it on Twitter with Dave McDonald and the bullpen guru on Twitter. There was an argument about Lucas Erceg, Justin Martinez, or Ryan Walker. Who should I have rest of season?
I was with you on that.
Yeah. We had 32 fab bucks left in my main event, 15 team road of 5x5. 32 bucks left on a $1,000 budget. That's not much. Mm-hmm. And I spent 21 bucks and won Erceg last weekend because I believed he could really help rest of season with saves. I truly do. And I'm totally behind Lucas Erceg having this job right now. He was dominant in his last outing. 1 1/3, 4 Ks, got the save for the Royals. Hunter Harvey be damned. I don't know why I'd be worried about anybody else in this bullpen because Erceg was traded at the deadline just like Harvey. He doesn't have that much more of an advantage over Erceg. So give me Lucas Erceg. I'm a big fan. The guy can throw gas and close out games for Kansas City rest of the season.
Love that call. I'm with you on Erceg too. I know we were talking about bullpen with bullpen guru and Dave as well, Dave McDonald, and they both liked Martinez and Ryan Walker in that little debate that we had. I like Erceg the most out of all three of those guys because I obviously like his stuff, and that's not to say that I don't like Ryan Walker, or Justin Martinez. I think they're solid pitchers, right? I just prefer Erceg slightly more, and which was not popular amongst Dave or bullpen guru. I'm still not fully convinced that they're just going to completely give up on Paul Sewald and Camilo Duvall. I think Camilo Duvall finds his way back into that role at some point if he can fix his problems down in AAA. It's funny because as soon as I said that, I think that the first it was that later that night he gave up like two runs in his outing in AAA. I was like, well, fuck. So maybe I lose that argument. I don't know.
Well, you and Britton have been heavy on Duvall's coming back, and Britton was like, Britton doesn't get pissed too often. Britton was like pissed on Sunday talking about Duvall saying, this is horseshit. He needs to come back up. This is uncool. The guy's a veteran. And I hear you, Britton. I'm with you, dude. But I actually think, even though I disagreed with those guys on Twitter, the bullpen guru and Dave made some sense about, they send a guy down like that. It's not just like, hey, get your shit together. It could be a serious message. And maybe I'm more skeptical that Duvall is valuable rest of season for saves. Maybe he comes back and gets some holds. But I think it's more of a stretch. I disagree with you guys more on Duvall coming back.
Yeah, they said something earlier before they sent Duvall down when they were determining who's going to be the next closer. This is why, all right? And Dave brought up a good point. In terms of watch the actual games, don't go off of what the coaches say. When they were trying to figure out and everyone was rushing to go get Jordan Hicks, he did make a comment that he preferred Walker in the eighth inning role. So I'm putting a little bit of value into that. Like I said, if Camilo Duvall can return to all-star form in AAA, maybe he just starts lighting it up. I don't think it's completely out of the question that he can get it back. There's no way they go into the for a playoff. Maybe it is. They're going into a playoff push. They have their all-star closer just sitting in AAA. When the rosters expand here in a couple weeks, hopefully that'll happen. Yeah, chat says I'm literally Jesse. For those of you guys who've seen Breaking Bad, I
know
am,
what he looks like. You do look like him,
Jesse Pinkman. Yeah. You ever seen the GIF where he goes, "He can't keep getting away with it"?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, people say
you
I look
do.
Like that all
the time. It you have facial features that are not exact, but the shape of your head and the formation, there's Jesse in there for sure. It's not an exact doppelganger, but it's in the ballpark.
Yeah, yeah. I also don't smoke crystal meth, so there's that, which is a big thing that makes Jesse Jesse, right? So there's that. For those of you guys in the live chat, keep the questions coming. I promise you, I'm going to get to your questions here in just a quick second. Two guys I want to talk about here. And I'm actually going to go off the reservation here a little bit, and I'm going to pick two pitchers here, Michael Govier, not two hitters. Utah, give me two. I'm going two pitchers as opposed to two hitters.
Utah, give me two.
So the first guy I want to talk about who's got his start today is Spencer Arrighetti, a guy I poo-pooed after Robbie said to pick him up, and I believe he got crushed against Oakland. This dude has, over his past three games, two of them were losses, but 8 Ks, 12 Ks, 13 Ks, all right? If I do the math on that, I believe that's 33 Ks over three games. So maybe he's turning the corner. We talked about a little bit over last week's show that maybe he can keep the good times rolling. Maybe he's the pitcher's side of the Aquino that we're talking here. So might be a guy that is available in your league. Over the past week, he's been added 33% in Yahoo, but he's 59% rostered right now. He gets the White Sox in a great matchup. I think the K's will be there at the end of the day. Obviously, a good start for a win. Maybe even a quality start there going up against the White Sox. So I don't know if I like him. I think I like him in certain matchups, but at least for tonight and possibly, I can't remember who his next start is after that. Spencer Arrighetti, I think, needs to be rostered at this point just based off of what we've seen over the past three games. Any strong thoughts on that, Goff?
Look, I can't believe if you're still hearing me. I'm knee-deep in the tunnel now, so this is amazing that I'm still able to be on the show if you're hearing this.
Yeah, I do. Is Lawrence Butler in there somewhere?
Larry, where are you? I picked up Spencer Arrighetti,
yeah.
Last Sunday in a 12 teamer of mine. So I'm all, and I benefited with one start this week, I believe, right? That was good. So
yeah.
So I'm all in. The Houston's 10 games over 500 now. They're kind of taking control of that division. Spencer Arrighetti is ascending. It all seems to make sense to me, man. I'm rest of season in on it. So I'm going to let you take from here because I feel like it's – I'll hang out here until you lose me entirely, but I'll be listening.
All right. Cool.
And I'm trying to get home in time to keep the show alive, but the show ends at 4 before I get there. It's going to end at 4. That's it.
There you go. So anyways, my second guy that I'm going to add here to this segment on the Give Me Two segment here.
Utah, give me two.
I talked about him earlier already. A guy I still want to hype up for those of you guys who are late to the show, Michael Kopech. I talked about him earlier in the year. I talked about him a couple weeks ago. He's arguably been the Dodgers' best reliever. Daniel Hudson blew another save yesterday. It's clear they don't want to give Evan Phillips back the job there. Gov, would it be, and I know you're listening here too, but over the past month, he's 1-0 over 10 innings, 14 strikeouts, a 0 ERA, and a 0.4 whip since coming over to the Dodgers. So I do, and Dave Roberts did say that he was high up on the quote unquote trust tree, whatever the hell that means. Michael Kopech could be a guy that's closing games in September that could help you out down the stretch. And I cannot quit Michael Kopech. I refuse to. I love his stuff. He's my love child. I don't know what it is about him. Maybe it's the ponytail that's just getting me going, getting me all hot and bothered.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, that might be a thing. But Michael Kopech is a guy, if you're hurting for saves, he's not the closer right now. If you need saves, maybe look at a guy like Sir Anthony Dominguez or some of the other guys that we've mentioned already, or Lucas Erceg. I would prefer those guys. But if you're playing a competitive league and it's a 12 or 14 teamer, he's only 25% rostered in Yahoo. He's out there. And his, if anything else, and if you play in ratio leagues, like, whip, K per nine, K per walk, ERA, whatever it may be, he's a guy that can offer real value here, and give you some K's and hopefully keep the good times rolling there. So, I'm calling my shot now, Gove. I'm locking it in. I think he'll be the closer sometime in September.
You still getting me, guys? It looks normal on my end, so I don't know.
Yep.
This is crazy. I am truly like halfway deep in the tunnel under the Detroit River. It's hilarious.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, wow, dude. Look, I mean, Mike is such a professional. Look at him. He nails the buttons. He's upbeat. He's got energy. He knows his shit. I love it. I'm so proud of this guy. But Kopech is a guy, if you remember, he was in that video I did spring training or right before opening day, the five guys who could be closers. So I was in on him too, man. We were minds alike on Kopech. My only question is if he can actually become the closer here and matter for the head-to-head playoffs and rest of the season. I'm still... The Dodgers are finicky, man. They're weird. I mean, he's pitching great. You're right. There's no excuse statistically for Kopech not to be used. But Evan Phillips has been better lately, I believe. Like when I checked last night, there's been progress. Yeah, yeah. So I want to join you. Like, yeah, he'll close. I just can't go there. But he's pitching lights out, and he should be added at minimum for solds leagues and even for ratios. You want to just streamline your ratios. If you have a K9 league, Kopech's got value at a minimum.
Genius, genius, genius.
Hey, keep your eyes on the road. This is the Palazzo Podcast. We'll be right back after these pointless messages.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. And order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
That's what Michael Govier is. So you heard it here both from your boy Mike Virginia and Michael Govier. So please, if you guys are looking for speculating on saves, I know I've been wrong sometimes, but I've also been right this year a couple times as well, maybe 50-50. Go grab Michael Kopech. I think he offers value. Maybe the Dodgers fixed him, and he just needed to get the hell out of that hellhole of the Chicago White Sox.
It's just a better day, man. I mean, even if they fix nothing, you just feel better when you walk into the Dodgers clubhouse versus the White Sox clubhouse. I mean, they fired their manager after he left, too.
There you go. Exactly right. So, all right. So we talked about those hitters. I want to get to some of these, the Gimme Two segment here. I'm going to get to some of these questions. Frozen Rope says Weston Wilson or Alex Call. This is a fun one. I think right now, just based off of what we've seen with the playing time so far, it's probably Alex Call for me until we see, and looks like Govier is agreeing with me there. It's probably Alex Call hitting out of the leadoff spot. His spot in the lineup's obviously better. I think the power is probably a little bit more on the Weston Wilson side, but Alex Call's got some pop as well. Get some hits, offer you some, a little bit of speed as well. For me, it's Alex Call until we see more consistent playing time from Weston Wilson. And Govia is agreeing there. Fantasy Sports says head-to-head points redraft 10 team. How do you rank these outfielders of Butler, Carey, Carpenter, who sits against left-handed pitchers, he says, David Peralta, who also sits against left-handers, or Willier Abreu, who sits against left-handed pitchers? I think you just answered your own question there, Fantasy Sports. I think for right now, you know, if you're looking for just guys who are in the lineup more consistently, it's probably Lawrence Butler in hopes that maybe he can turn it around. I don't really feel strongly about the other guys as well. Maybe Carey Carpenter from a power perspective. Gove would probably know more than I would in terms of the Detroit native there. But I would probably go Lawrence Butler out of this group because, I think you just answered your own question. Yay, America and Canada together, side by side. That's how things should be in this world, folks. Working together. Anyways,
I'm in Canada!
There you go. Yeah,
Carpenter's a badass. I know he's hit 3 home runs this week. Carpenter, yep. When he's healthy, he was a really good player. So I'm all about Carpenter rest of the season for head-to-head playoff value.
There you go. So you heard it there first. Give me the guy who gives me more consistent playing time than Lawrence Butler, but Carey Carpenter is a close second. I don't really have much interest in David Peralta. Willier Abreu, who is a guy that I said would be this year's Aquino, and he's been actually hitting some homers now recently. So I'm starting to get a little tickled by the fact that Willier Abreu could possibly help me out with the call that I made there. So
wow, dude.
Wow, dude is right. So hopefully we get some production at Willier Abreu. But like you said, he sits against some tougher lefties as well. Next one here, EAL Day says prediction for Crochet tonight: over under 4 innings pitched with 3 earned runs. It's going to depend on how well he's pitching. So I'd say you're probably right around the 4 or 5 inning mark, especially if they're showing us signs that he's going to be limited the rest of the season. But if he's shoving, I could see him definitely hitting that 5 innings mark, 5 or 6 innings. But it's going to really depend. They're facing Houston, so not the easiest of lineups. Maybe they get him in there for 3 or 4 innings and then pull him out of there. Chicago doesn't have anything to play for. Maybe they'll save some bullets there for Crochet. So give me I'm going to take the over on the innings, and I'm going to take the under on the earned runs. I think he has a decent start. Give me 5 innings pitch, 2 earned runs. It looks like Gove agrees with that. Uh-oh. Business says, I'm unsubscribing until Govier watches Breaking Bad. Well, don't do that. He did say that he was going to watch the show, and I made a promise to him. If you guys are just joining us late, when Govier watches and finishes Breaking Bad, which is a long show, I'm going to go on Cinema 9 and we're going to talk about it. And I would encourage everybody to go out there and subscribe to the Cinema 9 podcast, another podcast that Govier runs, and be on the lookout for that. I think that would be a really, really fun show because there's a lot of Breaking Bad fans, at least that follow me. So I would love to talk Breaking Bad. I would consider myself the Breaking Bad guru. So wow, I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and wow dude that.
Wow, dude.
And I'm going to lock that in. So
I don't have any doubts about it. It's a hole in my discography, in my lexicon, of my history of watching shit. I know it's the biggest hole I have because I'm pretty locked in most of the time. But between fantasy football and fantasy baseball, now I gotta watch Breaking Bad. Where's the time? There's never enough time, Zach. That's why I need these speed pills to get by.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Where's the time, right? And for those of you guys who are just now joining the show, we did a fantasy football show on Tuesday. We're going to start doing those more regularly. So make sure you guys check that out. We did our first show on Tuesday, and we'll probably do another one next week. So getting you guys ready for draft season. It was fun as hell. I said it on Thursday's Twitter spaces. Looks like Gov's waving bye-bye. Yeah, he's got a little bit of connection issues there. So we did a Tuesday show for fantasy football. So if you guys are interested, check that out. It is extremely fun. We could have talked another 3-4 hours fantasy football. We were both so hyped. TM says, drop Chisholm or is he still a hold? I think for right now, TM, he's probably a hold until we get some more info back. They said, I saw some rumblings that the 3 to 4 week time frame would probably be a good scenario if he doesn't need surgery. It sounds pretty ominous, to be 100% honest. I do think he elects to get surgery, and I don't think we see Jazz the rest of the year. If we do, it's probably not going to be towards the later end of September as they prep for the playoff run there with Jazz. Because you think about it, right? Like, just from a pure baseball standpoint, Jazz, they're going to need Jazz in the playoffs. So if there's any inkling of him coming back, they're going to want him to be healthy for the playoff run there and let him rest and rehab. Obviously, they're not just going to throw him cold as soon as the playoffs start. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe late September we see him, but he's a hold until we find some more information, which we should have by the end of the weekend. So hold for now, be patient. And if, unless there's a guy that's out there that's just, you know, like a Luis Robert who was dropped in EAL Days League, I would make that swap for sure. But depends on who else is out there for you, TM. Oops says, what's up, guys? What's up? Oops, always glad to have you here, man. Thank you. TM says, how do you rank these players? Jonah Bride, Reese Hoskins, Michael Bush, rest of season. Good question. I'm going Hoskins, Bush, and Jonah Bride. Give me anybody who plays for Milwaukee. Even with Christian Yelich out, which is crazy. We talked about it yesterday in Twitter spaces. They just hit the absolute piss out of the ball. They just know how to hit. Everybody from top to bottom in that lineup is hitting. And Hoskins is going to be a part of that as well. He's got the power. Michael Bush is a close second for me. They're kind of similar players just from the opposite sides of the plate there. Bush has good power as well. He does sit against some lefties, and he's gone through the up and down hot and cold streaks. Hoskins has been pretty consistent all year. But Jonah Bride is on my watch list for sure. So Chad wants to know, do I cook meth? No, I don't cook it either. So there's that. Felix Furman, Joey Bart, or Sean Murphy? Catcher question. Always get a catcher question in here. Govia had strong thoughts about Joey Bart. He thinks he could be this year's, I can't remember, I never know how to say his first name, the Aquino, the kid from Cincinnati that went on a tear. I think just from a pure consistent playing time perspective, it's Joey Bart followed by Murphy, then Furman. I like Sean Murphy a lot. I always have been a big Murphy guy, but he splits time with Travis Darnell. So give me Joey Bart there. Oops is saying drive safe, Govier. So if you're still listening, Oops says to drive safe. Chad, I'm good, man. We're good. TM says, should I prioritize Kopech over Sir Anthony Dominguez and Chapman? Good question. So I would go Sir Anthony Dominguez simply if this is a saves only league. I would go Sir Anthony Dominguez for sure, just because he's getting saves right now and he's the closer for now. I do think Kimbrel will get that job back. But it's really going to depend, too, in terms of how Kimbrel pitches like in the eighth and Dominguez continues to pitch as well. So I would go Dominguez, Kopech, then Chapman, but it's close. If it's a holds league, I put Chapman number one of this because there's the K potential as well. I actually think he strives better in the eighth inning. David Bednar has got a really, really long leash there in Pittsburgh. I believe he's from the city of Pittsburgh as well, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody fact check me on that. They love him. They have a long leash on him. I don't think he's going anywhere. And Chapman hasn't been very good at the closer's role for years now. So if it's a holds league, I'm going Chapman, Dominguez, Kopech. If it is a saves only league, I'm going Dominguez, Kopech, Chapman. Yoandi says, maybe Govier could find Tucker in that tunnel. Maybe, man. God, he's been bad. Kopech over Ben Joyce. Probably not, Penny. I just like Joyce because he is the closer right now. The saves won't be there for the Angels as much, but Joyce still has that triple. He's very Michael Kopech-esque, if you will. I think Ben Joyce has the potential to rack up some saves there, but they'll be careful with him as well. I prefer Joyce just simply because he's simple fact that he is the closer. If you're speculating on saves and you can add Kopech now, then I would add him. But if you're making me choose, it's still Joyce. Brian Burmeister, what's up, man? He says, I don't trust David Roberts at all. Yeah, well, I don't either, but he's going to have no choice at some point with guys like Hudson, Phillips, shit in the bed. And I don't know how well Blake Treinen's been, but if he's as high on that trust tree, his words, not mine, as he says he is, Kopech could be in line for saves for sure. And he has the experience of being closer in his time in Chicago. So I don't know how you couldn't put him in there if he's your best relief pitcher, but maybe they want him to be flexible and not put too much pressure on him. Maybe they like him to face the heart of the order in the later part of the game. Who knows? But you got to get there first. I get that with Kopech, but you also have to win those games. So he's not going to have a choice at some point to throw him in there. But he is very finicky with who he lets close. So good point. Pistol says, I dropped Alvarez for Stevenson. I didn't want to do it, but I needed production now. I don't mind that at all. Solid. Do you think do you like the Zebby Matthews profile? Who should you rather have? Who would I rather have? Matthews, Musgrove, or Boyd? I'm out on Boyd. I've made my thoughts on that clear. I know how well he's done in AAA. He looked decent in his first start there with Cleveland. In terms of do I like the profile with Zebby Matthews? Absolutely. The dude doesn't walk any guys. And Bailey Ober's another guy that does that. So Minnesota just knows how to churn these guys out in terms of control. I don't think his stuff is very relatable to the big league level, at least for this year from a K perspective. But from a whip perspective and limiting hard contact, I think Zebby Matthews is a guy that should be rostered in every league. Decent start, 5 innings pitch, I believe 2 earned runs. I think he should be rostered, though. I like him better than Musgrove and Boyd for sure. Matt McClain headed on a rehab soon. Insert eye emojis. Yeah, Matt McClain. I still think they're going to be careful with him. Yeah, Trinan says, or chat says Trinan's on the IL. Okay, there you go. I don't really watch much of the Dodgers there. So, all right, we're at 3:55. As I mentioned earlier, I did tell you guys that I have to be out of here right at 4 because I do have another meeting. Fantasy Sports says Bregman out of the lineup with swelling in his left elbow. He will address the media today. Maybe that's why Whitcomb was called up. Very true, Fantasy Sports. I don't own any shares of Alex Bregman, but that sounds pretty ominous if he's addressing the media and especially with this call up. Don't know if it's season ending. Obviously, swelling is never good. It's a natural reaction in the body when things happen. Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned with Alex Bregman with Whitcomb being called up, but if he's addressing the media today, that sounds pretty ominous. So we'll see. Just FYI, Gove is not going to make it past 4 p.m. So we're going to end the show at 4 p.m. Appreciate him jumping on in the middle of driving his car and using a hotspot. That's pure dedication, folks. That was fun. So we're going to end the show right at 4. We'll be back with you guys on Sunday, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Myself and Britton will be going over the week ahead, going up some guys that you can pick up, both hitters and pitchers. Talk about some two-start pitcher streams. Is it time to hold or fold as we get closer and closer into the season? We didn't get to talk about a lot of the stuff that was in the meat of the show today in terms of focusing on the head-to-head playoff strategy. I do have a couple minutes here. If you're playing head-to-head playoffs or head-to-head categories leagues, we want to let everybody know that to focus on the winnable categories. So I'm very big on streaming guys in the playoffs, in terms of starting pitchers, and just churning and burning guys that you can add, especially for those that have favorable matchups. So Govier also wanted to mention not to obsess about the weekly schedules. Schedule should only matter for starting pitcher or streamer matchups, like we just got finished talking about. The final six weeks matter the most for the first 20 players who have more to offer rest of season. He wants to name a couple guys: Zebby Matthews, Breon Bayo, Mark Vientos. He's only 49% rostered in Yahoo, so make sure you guys go get him. If I don't know how Mark Vientos is only 49% rostered, he should be 100% owned. He also wanted to mention Ian Anderson, Pete Carl Armstrong, Kerry Carpenter, and Whit Merrifield. So those are some guys that could probably help you out there. Yeah. So anyways, those are just some things to focus on if you're playing the head-to-head side of things. Focus on winnable categories. If you know that you're somebody who doesn't have anybody that can, you know, for instance, if you don't own any closers, you went zero closer all year, there's no point in focusing on it come playoff time. So focus on the categories that you can win at this time. Definitely make sure that you add to the strengths of your team as well, so you can definitely win those. So that is something I would do. EAL Day says, Mike, real quick, are you a fan of start limits in head-to-head Cats leagues? My league's playoffs are 2-week matchups, and theoretically you can stream 10 starting pitchers. That's a lot. Yes and no. That's a good question because my leagues have never really done that. I do think it's kind of shitty to do it during the regular season. So I think a lot of leagues have maximum ads that you can add throughout the week. So I think that makes things a little bit more interesting, but it would depend on that number. So in terms of, I'm a fan of start limits, I would say I'm a fan. Yeah, I'm a fan of that. So thank you guys so much for joining in. We're coming up on time. I got to head to my meeting with Gus Fring. That's Chad's joke, not mine. Thank you guys so much for joining. We will see you guys next week for the Friday show. Tune in next week for our show here on Fridays. This Sunday, we have the Waiver Wire show coming up on Sunday. And then Robbie and Ben got there on Monday. We have fantasy football stuff next week. It's a lot of fun. So make sure you guys check us out. Keep it posted on the YouTube channel. And check out all the videos, and we will turn it over to the captain himself, Mr. Jack Aubrey. See y'all.
All right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you, and I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.